When and where I was growing up, it was Hunker or New Stanton or Jeanette or Norvelt. These were the less desirable places, the places not to go after dark, or even during the day for that matter in some cases. The people who lived there, came from them, were less than, unsavory, perhaps even dangerous. The irony, of course, is that with the benefit of time and distance, I have come to realize that the same was true of Youngwood, my own hometown, at least in the eyes of others, those from Greensburg or Fort Allen. And even more ironically, even in the eyes of some from Hunker and New Stanton and Jeanette and Norvelt. I suppose I even sensed it myself that Youngwood, and thus her people, was not highly regarded by many from other places. In bygone days, perhaps it was different. But then, and even more now, from what I understand, the old town from whence the railroad and supporting industries had long fled was, and indeed is, one of those places. You know them too. We all do. Maybe you don't know Hunker and Jeanette and Youngwood, but you do know Cherry Hill and Park Heights, Elwood Park and Baltimore Highlands. You've likely heard of Washington Highlands and Bellevue, Berry Farms and Potomac Gardens. Or even closer to home, you know those parts of Laurel and the Route 1 corridor. And you even know the lesser neighborhoods of Columbia itself. We all know what those places are like and who the people are that live there. This is no new phenomenon. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You see, Nazareth was one of those places, at least according to Nathanael, who was from Cana in Galilee. In those days, Nazareth was a village of 200 to 400 people, a very small place. In comparison, Columbia has about 100,000 people. Our very own congregation has a little over 400 members. Like several other villages in that area, it was economically dependent on the city of Sepphoris, which was the capital of Galilee in the first years of Herod Antipas's reign as tetrarch. The Hebrew scriptures never mention Nazareth, much less associate them with messianic expectations. And even a cursory search for information about first century Nazareth turns up very little information of import. It seems as though, as Jesus was growing up within its limits, Nazareth was just another little town filled with little people. And as people from place to place are wont to do, those from the neighboring villages, including Nathanael from Cana, looked down their noses at such an unimportant place. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? In this way, every place is Nazareth. For every region, for every town, for every street, there is someone who would wonder if anything good could come out of that place. And in this way, Nazareth is much more than a place. It is the color of skin. It is the language spoken. It is the God who is worshipped. It is the love chosen. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Youngwood? Cherry Hill? Can anything good come from a black man, a white woman, or a Native American? Can anything good come out of someone who speaks Arabic or Korean or Swahili? Can anything good come out of a mosque or a synagogue or a temple? Can anything good come out of a gay man or a lesbian or someone who is transgender? We know what these places are like, right? I mean, what kind of people each of these are. We've met one or two of them. We've heard about them on the news. We've listened to a friend share his or her thoughts about them. We know what kind of people live in Nazareth. We know what they think, who they love, who they hate. The truth is, though much has changed, progressed, transformed over these many years, much remains the same. When people and places live up to our expectations, can anything good come out of Nazareth? We shake our heads, clear our throats, and proclaim our "I told you so's." I told you we can't trust them. I knew this would happen sooner or later. And even when someone or someplace defies those preconceived notions, we suspend our judgments but for a moment, until we're able to remind ourselves of how well we know what will happen next, because it's the law of averages. But we also know in our heart of hearts that no one person is simply the product of where they live, what clothes they wear, the color of their skin, the accent of their voice, the faith they claim, and so on and so on and so on. Deep down, we all long for the day described by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when all will be judged by the content of their character, or perhaps even better, by the grace of God by which we are all ultimately judged. But friends, longing for that day is not enough. It is simply too passive. Rather, we must work for that day. Start with ourselves, our own unfair, unjust, preconceived notions about people, and work to change our own hearts, and then the hearts of those closest to us. And join our hands and our hearts across those lines that would otherwise divide us. In an article for the Springfield News Leader, Lola Butcher shares her experience in trying to overcome her tendency to stereotype. She writes, "When I recruited my friend Susan to participate in an anti-racism event, I started to explain that as an African-American woman, she would be able to provide a perspective that participants, most of whom were white, would benefit from hearing. She cut me off before I could finish my spiel. 'That sounds like something I need to attend,' she said. 'I am prejudiced against people with red hair, and I'm working on it.'" Then Butcher goes on to share her own struggle with racism. She writes, "I remember the first time I saw people of color. I was about 5 years old, visiting my grandmother when their car pulled into the driveway. The next thing I knew, Grandma and I were crouched beneath the windowsill, her hand clamped over my mouth to shush me, while two African Americans knocked on the door, calling, 'Aura, are you home?' I was horrified by that memory, until I asked my mother about it. 'Oh, those folks were her friends,' she said. 'They came to visit fairly often.' It turns out that Grandma had a habit of hiding in her house. If anybody arrived when the living room was a mess, or her hair was in pin curlers, leaving the would-be guest to wonder why her car was in the driveway when no one was at home. And so despite living in 99% white rural Missouri in the early 1960s, my grandmother had black friends. All of a sudden, I remembered seeing two African Americans squeezed into a pew at her funeral, which was otherwise a sea of white people. That memory brought another and then another. Those memories do not add up to a clear narrative, but my memory seeking does have a takeaway. Somehow I got to adulthood with a negative stereotype of people of color, despite the fact that my actual lived experiences do not justify it." And what we know is that Ms. Butcher is not alone in this experience. Despite our greatest intentions, despite the fact that we all know better, we all harbor isms in our own minds and our own hearts. Justified or otherwise, they are there. They are our Nazareths. But then out of those Nazareths steps the one who would shatter all isms and bigotries and stereotypes. The one who 17 chapters later would pray that they may all be one, As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked him, where did you come to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And just like that, Nathanael knew in his mind and in his heart that what he thought he knew of Nazareth was wrong. Or at least that what he thought of anyone who could come out of that village was wrong. It is human nature. And what we know of Christ is that he came to challenge, to change, to transform human nature. So friends, when we think we know that every young black man wearing a hoodie is up to no good, only looking for trouble, we remember Christ, the Nazarene. And when we think that all police officers are power hungry and trigger happy, we remember Christ, the Nazarene. And when we think that all those who pray to Allah and read the Quran want nothing more than to kill Westerners and establish Sharia law, we remember Christ, the Nazarene. And when we think that all liberals are atheists, amoralists, we remember Christ, the Nazarene. And when we think all conservatives are gun-toting gay bashers, we remember Christ, the Nazarene. And when we think, and when we think, and in remembering Christ the Nazarene, the one who answered the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth, with a resounding yes, we learn that not only do our brothers and sisters not fit as neatly into a box as we think or would like them to, but neither does our God. For even more shocking than a good person coming out of Nazareth was and is the God of the universe coming out of Nazareth. A reminder that our God works in mysterious and surprising ways, often shattering our preconceived notions about God, what God will or should do. For as we are reminded in the book of the prophet Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Today, the Sunday before the national celebration of the birth of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., is marked as Race Relations Sunday in our denomination, a day we remember our sinful tendency to allow the color of our skin to drive us apart, a day we remember those who have worked tirelessly to overcome this social scourge, and a day we recommit ourselves to working for that day when racism is truly, truly in the past. Racism is nothing new. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Our propensity to categorize and judge is as old as humankind itself and is certainly not limited to race. Jesus felt it as a Jew, as a Nazarene, and on the cross. And in shattering Nathanael's ideas about who he should be, Jesus opens the door for all of us to set aside our tendency to say, all blanks are blank. To embrace the unique identity of each person as a blessed child of God. And even to begin to see our God in a new way, in an unexpected way. Surprised by the depths and lengths to which our God is willing to go in order to save, reconcile, and unite all people. It is not a pipe dream or an impossible hope. It is nothing short of the will of our God, into which we are called, invited, and challenged to participate. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You better believe it. And even better than that, the one Almighty God of the universe can and does come out of Nazareth. And that, my friends, is good news for all Nazareths. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.